Thanks for downloading Scott Harold's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
You ready to rise? We're talking with author and leadership coach Joe Saxton today at SOS Radio. For women in the workforce today, even though it's 2020 and we think of this as a modern age, there's a lot of barriers to overcome, from harassment and sexism to self-esteem and financial woes and power battles or even old wounds. And author Joe Saxton knows all about that and has written and researched that for years. How are you today, Joe?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Well, tell us your story.
Yeah, I often say that I was the last person in my community to work out I was a leader. It was like, even when I was growing up, my teachers knew it, my friends knew it, my enemies knew it, but I didn't quite get it. And I realized so much of it was down to what I perceived in my own mind about what a leader should look like and what they should be like. And I never saw myself in that view. So as I grew and I got involved in different leadership spaces, whether that was in the nonprofit world or the church world, I found I just had to work out what it meant to take my gifts and use them for his glory and use them more effectively. And I came up against struggles, and it took a long while to get there.
We're talking about what gifts we've been leaving unwrapped. We're talking about how we have a voice, how we have a purpose, and how we embrace what we've been given in regard to those gifts with Joe Saxton today at SOS Radio. And in your new book, Ready to Rise, you talk about how Jesus invited every one of us, guys and girls, into God's mission of actually changing the world. Mm. And it starts with identifying those gifts and finding ways to fuel those.
Absolutely. I believe that God's given all of us. I mean, we see it from the very beginning that humanity are invited to two things: to know God personally and then to represent him in the world. And since we're made in his image, we're made with traits and giftings and qualities that are actually not just for us, and they're not just about us. They're for human flourishing. So it's ours to unwrap, really, and to see what could we look like representing Jesus in the world, and what difference could that make?
I know a lot of times we feel like we're wired up for something, but a lot of times we're impatient, right? We feel like, okay, I've got a couple of talents, I've got a couple of gifts, but I don't really know how to grow that into something that's going to change the world. What have you learned, Joe?
Yeah, you know, I've learned to pay attention to a number of things. I've learned to pay attention to my community, trusted people who have watched me over the years and can almost catch me doing things well. Because sometimes, particularly if I'm not feeling confident, or if I'm coming up against societal barriers or relational ones, I might believe what somebody else says about me rather than what God has always said about me. So when I've got trusted people reminding me, saying, that was the impact when you did that, that was the impact when that happened, that's where you were involved there, I think that's been a good indicator. Another indicator has been some of the things I'm just good at and how they can be used in service to another. That's an indicator. And I think if you're able to look back with people, that can help you get a sense of where God has already been using you and how you can continue that.
This season of isolation that we've been living through, it really does a lot more than your self-esteem. I mean, it goes to your identity in a lot of ways, where you feel like, I can't do all the things that are put in front of me. You know, it's like we're homeschool parents all of a sudden. We're working from home. We're motivated differently when we're in an office and we have people to bounce ideas off and talk to and have lunch with and coffee and... You just think about how overwhelming life is. And what have you learned about resetting and owning our true identity when we feel like, I just can't do this, I'm failing, I'm flailing, it's not working for me?
I think that's a really powerful observation, because some of us didn't even call ourselves leaders, but we're finding ourselves with responsibilities that were not on the job description and not what we signed up for. We're being stretched up, called up in all kinds of ways. And I think there are two things that I found really helpful in the Bible that I've had to reset myself with daily. So one of the things I'd say with that reset in terms of your identity is that it may not be a one-off thing. It may be something that you need to go back to through the day, because the moment we're in seems to be expanding in time. So one is, I'm reminded in Paul's journey in Corinth, where he prays and asks God to help, and God says his power comes into its own in weakness, or his power is made perfect in our weakness. And I say that to encourage us where we feel inadequate. Many of us may be feeling inadequate as we're homeschooled. It's like, I'm not a teacher. I really liked my kids going to school. Or I don't want to be the person who has to lay off everybody. You know, when you worked with them, you loved them, and now you're having to give them terrible news. And I think we often perceive as leaders we need to be strong, but God's power meets us in our weakness. So that'd be the first thing that I would say could be really helpful for us to keep on remembering as we go through this time. The other one that I'm reminded of is looking at the life of Jesus in Matthew 14. There are a number of issues. One, it begins with John the Baptist being murdered and Jesus finding out and having to pull away. and then these crowds chasing him. And it's the demands of his personal family situation and the demands of his ministry. And just seeing that interplay in many ways is real helpful, because we're all dealing with these huge demands personally, because we're all going through it all at once. And then there's this moment at the end of the chapter with Jesus and the disciples, and they're in a boat and there's a storm and he walks on the water towards them. And it sounds terrifying. And Peter, the one whose mouth always goes ahead of us all, asks if it's Jesus to call him to come. And when he responds in the middle of the storm to the words of Jesus. I found that really helpful, that the storm isn't calming for many of us. In fact, the storm seems to be picking up a pace. But Jesus is with us in the storm. And what's his word to us in the storm that we can walk on, even if it seems ridiculous? But because this is so new, and Peter is dealing with an unprecedented situation with great risk and great fear and anxiety, where he's literally out of his depth. And it is the words of Jesus that lead him forward. I don't say these words lightly. Many of us are dealing with lost income, lost expectations, and lost loved ones, which is devastating. But I'm comforted by the fact that Jesus didn't wait until I got to the end of the storm. He met me in the storm. And I think that's something for us today.
We're walking through a really interesting season with so much job loss and furlough. Mm. And one thing you may notice about yourself when you're not working, or at least not working in the same capacity you were with the influence you had in your office, is you realize, wow, maybe I put a little more of my identity in my job than I thought I did. We're talking with Joe Saxton today at SWIS Radio. What have you learned about work and identity, where there's a healthy balance of, you know what, you have the drive to push through. And yeah, you have to have a work ethic and a charisma and a drive to do that. You don't want it to turn into an ego, but if you're passive on those things, you don't move forward. What have you noticed, Joe?
I've noticed there's something about celebrating the way you've been wired, celebrating the gifting, like you've described, the work ethic and all of those things. I think that's a healthy thing. It's when you can't put those things down. And, you know, it's natural in a time of crisis that we may find that there was more of our identity involved in those things. But I found it's really healthy for us if we can celebrate them and own that they are part of our life, not our whole life, that they are part of how God made us. It's a gift. It's an offering to him. It's integral to how we're wired, but it's not just the end result of our worth and our value. Because if our worth and value shifts because the job is over and it renders us hopeless, then perhaps there is that like resetting that needs to happen. I actually think that we are designed with productivity in mind, and maybe not the overwork, well, definitely not the overwork we've often seen in many of our societies around the world, but us being productive and putting our hands and our gifts and our minds to work is a good thing. In this time of reset, it's okay to grieve if some of that is lost in our lives. It's definitely okay to grieve as part of the reset.
I think one of the most interesting gut checks when you realize, okay, I've tied myself up and my identity a little too much in my work is to look at, do I have other things that people know me as? Like, okay, people know me as Scott from SWIS Radio.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that, because there's a platform that comes with this job. But you know what? To a bunch of 9 and 10 year old boys, I'm coach because I coach soccer to them.
Or, that's wonderful.
Or to the people that I go to church with, or you serve in a certain ministry or a Bible study that you lead with other people, or that guy is my neighbor and he's good and he's generous and he's this and this and this and this. Are there things that people know about you other than your job?
Absolutely. Do they know your taste in music, your hobbies, the things you love? I think it's a wonderful description, because otherwise we end up as these one-dimensional beings which are just about the task, and we weren't designed for that.
So a lot of people know you as a leadership coach. They know you as an author, Joe, but what do you want your family to know you by? What do you want your community to know you by when you think about your voice?
I want them to know I was there. I want them to know I was present. And when I say there for them. So to my teenage girls' friends, I am the carpool mom. That's what I'm known as. I'm the one who carries them all to their practices, and in the car, and obviously now in this current moment, all their practices are off, but in the car, we are positive and we're affirming and we're encouraging. That's what I want to be known to those girls as they grow up, as someone who is present for them, to listen to them, to encourage them, someone who's always cheering them on, who's always affirming them, and who is a safe place for them to talk to. I think that's been one of the gifts, the unexpected gifts and opportunities I've been given as my children grow. In terms of in my neighborhood, again, someone who's present, who can be called upon in a crisis, who has time to hear somebody else's story.
So Joe, what do you suggest for making that a part of our family identity? How do we shift those values that we have as parents and as leaders into shepherding our family forward into that?
I keep on coming back to that word you said about the resetting and stuff, because I think in this moment we have a chance to ask ourselves, what do we want to be known as? What would we want someone else to say about our household as they walk past? Do we want them to say, I know nothing about them? Do you want to say, oh, that's the family who, or those people, they're the ones who always ask for donations. They're the ones who are always fundraising for something. That'd be the first question I'd ask you to consider in your household. What would you want to be known for? And then how is that reflected in your time? Because our values are ideas and dreams until they're lived. And they're just aspirations until they're lived. And so what habits can you put in place? Is there a small habit, a small practice? If you want to be a family of prayer, what does that look like once? Is there one time in the week where you can see that and that's evidenced in your life? I think of what you want to be known for, and then think of a practical way you can begin to put that into practice and keep it regular.
We're talking about owning our voice today with Jo Saxton on SWS Radio, and she has a new book. It's called Ready to Rise, about owning your voice, gathering your community, and stepping into your influence. And Jo, you have a really interesting chapter called A Voice Without Apology. Speak to a lot of women in the workforce that really struggle with their own voice, feeling like, okay, if I come across too strong, I'm perceived one way. If I don't speak up at all, I'm seen another way. I want to have more than just a healthy balance. I want to be true to who God wired me up to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Even writing that chapter was really challenging in a good way for me, because I was looking at the example of Deborah, who really is a judge, and she is the civil and religious leader of her community, and she's dealing with people's lives in the trenches one-on-one, but also there are these moments where she calls leaders to stand up and take their place in a terrible time in the people of God's history. And in the face of oppression, she calls them to stand up and fight their battles. And then when they win the battle, she sings a song. And I was struck by how much she just declared what her role was in the story. There's a bit where she says, village life ceased and nothing happened until I, Deborah, arose. And I thought, oh my goodness, in today's day and age, would that be seen as arrogant? Would that be seen as taking all the credit? But she calls it out, and she calls out other people who don't show up. But what she's doing is living very consistently with how God wired her. She did it one-on-one in the people she met under her palm every day. She did it amongst the leaders who were warriors, and she did it with the nobodies. And I think the challenge it was for me is, if God has called you to live a certain way, whether that's using your voices in your home, amongst your friendship group, in your workplace, are we living consistently with that voice? Or are we hiding what God's asking us to do and calling that humility? Are we hiding it and pretending it's holy? Because if Deborah had been silent, there were huge ramifications for the people of God. If Deborah had not used her voice, if Deborah had not called people out and told them to step into their gifting and calling, it wasn't just, oh, that's a shame. There was massive things missing. And I think that happens to us, you know, Scott. I think when we don't step into what God asks for us, the kingdom of God suffers. Our families suffer. Our communities suffer, businesses aren't started, ministries aren't planted, conversations that could heal a marriage, that could rebuild a family, aren't happening. So I want to encourage us, even if it feels tender at the beginning, to think through what it looks like to use the voice God has given us and put it into action in the spaces we're in.
We're talking to Jo Saxton today at SWS Radio. Thanks for spending some time with us. Her new book is out. It's called Ready to Rise. Thanks, Jo.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.